Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As mentioned, getting that Wednesday start as we march closer and closer to the weekend, wasting no more time. As you know, Wednesdays are the days we get Brandon Adams fired up. We mentioned earlier in the show that I think Brandon likes being on the show because we get a chance to get him all fired up, get that Gator hater blood boiling, and I think he has better shows on Wednesday as a result. So we're going to do our duty this morning, hopefully, and welcome in the host of Dog Nation Daily, Brandon Adams. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. It is great to be back with you again.
Abs, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. We certainly appreciate your time as you're getting ready to do your show about 10 o'clock on your Facebook channel. So just cut to the chase real quick. This topic that doesn't seem to go anywhere, this Dan Mullen trolling Georgia, seems to be one of the just themes that we're just going to have to deal with maybe throughout his tenure at Florida for all we know. But I liked your conversation yesterday on your episode talking about, you know, what I guess Mike Griffith talked to Paul Finebaum and revealed some pretty interesting and kind of maddening conversations he had with Dan Mullen behind closed doors where he just really ran his mouth about Georgia. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, for the people who are not aware, maybe they didn't read the piece at DogNation.com or didn't hear the show yesterday as part of Dog Nation Daily. So Mike does interview Paul Finebaum. Finebaum retells the story of being in Dan Mullen's office, and according to Finebaum's account of this, that Mullen was seemingly pretty obsessive about talking about Georgia, and one of the things that he wanted to talk a lot about was the presence of the national championship trophies at Florida and how long it's been since Georgia's won one of those. Now, this obviously, if true, and I don't have any reason to doubt Finebaum, if this is true, it completely contradicts the statements that Mullen himself had made last week, saying that the whole Georgia-Florida rivalry thing was something overblown by the media and something that we were all doing to have fun. And he really wasn't participating in that, and people were, you know, reading too much into every single little thing that he said. Well, you know, the Finebaum account would seem to stand in pretty stark contrast to all of that. But that's the backstory. I think the overall takeaway from a Georgia fan's perspective, or really even just a college football observer's perspective, you don't have to be a Georgia fan, I think, to see it this way, is that I think if Mullen thinks he's serving his constituents, Florida fans, Florida graduates, Florida donors, by, you know, kind of keeping this narrative going, I think there's one big thing that all of them are missing. You know, I'm 42, so if I'm talking to a Florida fan who's in his late 30s, early 40s, you know, it's kind of somewhere in that same, you know, general age range as I am, and he wants to kind of bust my chops about Georgia not winning a national championship for a long time and Florida having won them more recently, that's a jab that kind of works on me because, yes, I was alive to remember 96 and, you know, the couple others that Florida's won, and that, you know, that jab kind of works on me. But if you're looking at this as a way of building up the stature of your program with recruits, even though 2008 chronologically is a lot more recent than 1980 to a recruit who was 10 years old the last time that national championship was won, there really isn't a great deal of difference in a recruit's mind between 2008 and 1980. That's all stuff that happened before they were paying attention to college football in all likelihood. So it really becomes about, well, what's going on right now? And that's obviously the conversation that Florida doesn't do very well with, because what's going on right now at Florida pales in comparison to what's going on at Georgia, and that's why you see Georgia having the success it's having in recruiting, and you see Florida, for the most part, flailing about with a bunch of sideways energy. And I think that's the thing that maybe Dan Mullen's trying to distract from right now. And as a strategy, I got to tell you, I think it's pretty interesting.
Well, at what point do we honestly start thinking, hey, I know what he's trying to do. You just outlined that for us, trying to fire up that Gator fan base, trying to kind of have fun and show recruits, hey, we're going to talk some trash and have a good time here. But it does make him look really silly at the same time. And how could this possibly, or are we already seeing that aspect affect recruiting negatively for Florida?
Well, I think the thing that's affecting, you know, Florida negatively when it comes to recruiting is the fact, and this is kind of true for all those in-state programs. Once again, to kind of go back to my childhood and teenage years, you know, Florida, the state of Florida, was where it was at when it came to college football, not just the Gators, but, mm-hmm. you know, Tallahassee and Miami, too. But all of those programs have been diminished so much. They almost have no national mystique about them whatsoever. I heard a thing yesterday about how Florida State's season ticket base has dwindled. I'm talking about shrunk. If that's the right grammar usage,
yeah.
shrunk drastically year after year after year in kind of a recent pattern. And I think that Florida's dealing with its own version of that as well. That while Florida means a lot to me as a longtime Georgia fan who loves the cocktail party and the rivalry and everything else, that logo does not carry a lot of weight nationally right now. Georgia, despite the fact that it hasn't won a national championship, does have a little bit more of a national brand. So, Logan, here's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Either Florida's going to win a bunch more games this year than I think they're going to, and Dan Mullen's going to do something to change that, or ultimately, it won't be you and me and the people who are listening to 960 The Ref right now. It won't be you and me who kind of, push Mullen out. It's going to be Florida fans themselves that grow tired of this and get irritated by it, because they're the ones that have the high standard, and right now it's easy to appease them with kind of some fun stuff during an off season. But ultimately, this is the fan base that has gotten used to winning. All credit due. They're going to expect some results from Mullen, and that's more than just having a top 10 ranking, and it's more than just winning a non playoff bowl game. And I don't quite think Mullen's capable of delivering that. So ultimately, Mullen's biggest problem is going to be once the jabs and the barbs and the funny stuff doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. What does he deliver then?
Interesting. B.A., I want to give you an assignment here on the spot. We got Josh Connor in this morning. Dave is out. But I bestowed upon him a duty earlier. I'm going to give the same thing to you. We're going to pretend for a second that Greg McGarrity calls Brandon Adams and says, listen, we cannot decide what we want to do with this Georgia-Florida game. Keep it in Jacksonville. Go home and home. Have some obscure rotation. We just can't figure it out. So we are going to give that duty to Brandon Adams. Now, you, Brandon, don't have to back it up with any analytics, no numbers, anything. Just what you personally would make the decision. How would you go about it if it was given to you?
So I'm going to answer this question two ways, and okay. I hope that you feel satisfied when it's done.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to approach this as a dictator, if I'm truly the king of Georgia football here and I've got the power to do whatever I want, I'm keeping the game in Jacksonville, because for this particular moment in time, I still think the tradition's worth respecting. And I'm going to say to Kirby Smart, I apologize, because my assumption is that Smart wants a change. I'm going to say I apologize, but for right now, I'm just not quite ready to make this move. I want to keep the game in Jacksonville. If I'm a dictator, that's what I'm doing. However, because I'm a benevolent dictator, what I might do is open this up to true democracy. And I am really curious about this. I would love to be able to, put this on a ballot. I'd love to be able to give, tens upon tens of thousands of Georgia fans a chance to weigh in on this. And if this is like a true referendum where people get to vote on it, I would obviously vote in favor of keeping the game in Jacksonville, and I would probably campaign to keep the game in Jacksonville. But if 51% of Georgia fans say, no, we're ready now to see this game every other year be played on campus, that is something I would respect the wishes of the people on that. The one thing I have no interest in is the rotational thing where it's Jacksonville every third or fourth year. For whatever reason, I don't think that would work. I think that would just kill the mystique of what the cocktail party has been, and also just kind of offer up kind of a weird rotation all the way around. So I'm probably not in favor of any kind of rotation. I'm in favor of either it's always in Jacksonville or it's always home and home. And really, for the most part, although I'm pro-Jacksonville, I'd respect the wishes of the people if they felt differently.
Very fair enough. Speaking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Hey, Brandon, speaking with the – or kind of sticking with the theme of Georgia-Florida, we had Warren Brinson, who was had originally committed to Georgia, decommitted, and then had kind of Florida and Georgia in his top two. Is this kind of why he came back to Georgia, because of the whole, kind of trouble with Florida recruiting and, players leaving, through the transfer portal? Like, why did Warren Brinson kind of decide to go back to Georgia after decommitting from Georgia?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Obviously, it's kind of hard sometimes to put yourself in the heart and mind of a recruit and know exactly why it happened. And you referenced some of the negative press that Florida got earlier. And, on the tail end of some of that negative press, they did have some decommitments. And it's easy for us to kind of connect the dots and say, oh, well, these decommitments must have had something to do with that. And Warren Brinson naming Georgia and Florida as his top two and then choosing Georgia, maybe that had something to do with some of the negative press that Florida got stemming from the Chris Steele situation and kind of the Jalen Jones situation, some of that other kind of stuff. I think one thing I try to be careful with is never being too quick to assume I know what a recruit's thinking, because for 1,000 different commitments, there may be 1,000 different reasons and 1,000 different stories as to why. However, what I'll also admit, while I don't know why he did what he did, there's certainly a way to look at this as being kind of a stinging rebuke of Florida, because, you know, Brinson was a Georgia commit. He decommits. He names Georgia and Florida as his top two, then quickly commits to Georgia again. There's no doubt. And by the way, if you follow like the online chatter about all of this, there was a lot of thought that Brinson was on his way to Florida. This really was almost like that handshake game where you put your hand out and then pull it back at the last moment when the guy tries to reach and take your hand. This really was a stinging moment for Florida. Florida fans were beside themselves about losing Brinson, because this adds to also losing another in-state for them defensive lineman and Jalen Carter not all that long ago. So I don't know why it happened. I know what it looks like, and it looks like Georgia absolutely set up Florida for a gigantic pratfall in recruiting, and that's one of the reasons why Dawg fans have had so much fun with that over the weekend, because of just kind of the way it makes Florida look in response to all that.
Brandon, Jalen Carter, Nazir Stackhouse, Jameel Burrows, and now Warren Brinson, these are all very, you know, four-star defensive linemen, very good defensive linemen, which seems to be not a point of concern, I would say, but something I think all of us can kind of agree Georgia needs to kind of step up that position if it wants to compete on the biggest of stages. Is this one of these concerns, per se, that might be going away in terms of the way Georgia's been recruiting lately?
Yeah, I think so, because you mentioned the guys that Georgia has in the fold, but there's also still these ongoing conversations about other guys that Georgia's still chasing down, and you'll say, well, how are they going to fit all these pieces in? The honest truth is, I don't know that. These things have a way of taking care of themselves over the course of months. But, you know, you got Jordan Burch from Columbia, South Carolina, who, you know, may or may not be, you know, someone that Georgia has a chance to add in this class. You know, Jay Hardy, Jacoby Cowan, you know, those guys, they're kind of still out there as well. So Georgia has a needed defensive line. They're about to lose a lot of guys off the roster. And frankly, you know, the unit that they, you know, currently have hasn't always necessarily performed in a stellar fashion. They've got some, you know, some areas they're trying to address on the field with that group this season. So to see them attacking it and approaching it as aggressively as they are when it comes to these defensive linemen, I think that's a really good sign. It's probably the biggest concern for fans who follow recruiting closely of what is going on with the defensive line. And right now, there's a lot of positive buzz about that group.
And certainly Trayvon Walker, Tramell Walthour, and Tymon Mitchell, who's a good freshman this year. We don't know much about. We're excited to see them. Brandon, Kirby Smart said a couple things a couple weeks ago, giving us all hope that all recruits would show up on campus. There were a couple that took a few days longer. The way I looked at this is Brandon, if you told me 2 weeks ago, I'm going to give you, Logan, $20, and I'm going to get excited about that. I have no reason not to believe you when you say that. But until I get that $20 bill physically in my hands, will I feel 100% confident? That's what we kind of felt this last week with George Pickens. But now that he's finally in the hand at Georgia, showing up in these backyard barbecue tweets by Cortez Hankton, we all certainly are very kind of an exhale sigh of relief. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that there had been so much message board talk about, you know, Pickens and what was and not going to happen with his academics. And we'll never, I guess, 100% know, you know, what was real with that and what was just simply conjecture. But now that he is here, I think the issue becomes how good of a prospect Pickens really is. And I think it's easy to overlook him just slightly because he did just get on campus. And we did go through a spring where we saw some really good things from N'Kobe Dean and saw some really good things from Nolan Smith and really Jermaine Johnson even too. And, you know, Kirby talked up Dominic Blaylock a bit from time to time when he met with reporters. And I think it's easy to focus in on one of these guys that Georgia did sign this 2019 class. It's almost like Pickens, I don't want to say becomes the afterthought, but for the moment, a lot of attention had been paid to some other incoming freshmen. And I think it's time now that Pickens is standing there cheesing with Cortez Hankton. And, you know, his Instagram story has been, you know, filled with him being in Athens. I mean, it's official. He is here. I think it's time now to go back and just reset and remember what kind of prospect this guy really is. Terrence Edwards, the only 1,000-yard receiver in the history of Georgia football, has told me that he views Pickens as a true number one receiver, the kind of guy that could also do what Terrence did, which is get up to that 1,000-yard mark at some point in time in his Georgia career. And I think that speaks highly of who Pickens is as a player, because Edwards not only is a former player at this position, but he's a coach at this position. He really knows what he's talking about there, and he really speaks highly of Pickens. Now, how quickly does all that come together and take place? I don't know that. But I do know this, of all the prospects in this Georgia roster, among the most significant is Pickens.
Brandon, we all know who, you know, barring a unforeseen injury, who the starting quarterback for Georgia is going to be this year. But, you know, post Jake Fromm, you know, we have some, you know, Georgia's got some great talented people coming in with Carson Beck in 2020. And beyond that, Caleb Williams and Brock Vandergriff, both 2021 kids. Is there a guy that Georgia would rather have, do you think? Or, you know, it might be hard to get both, but, you know, is there a guy that Georgia, you think, would fit better in this current offensive scheme?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I guess the short answer to that is, I think for me now, it's too early to say. Vandergriff's obviously a guy that you hear a lot of talk about. I think the name of the game when it comes to these, you know, couple cycles out, or in some cases, maybe three cycles out when it comes to recruiting the quarterbacks, I just think it's important to make sure you're in early and make sure those guys know that they felt the love from you early, and then this stuff kind of works itself out over the course of time. Because I think we're in a new age now where, you know, if, let's say, Carson Beck steps in 2020, because let's say, just for the sake of conversation, Jake Fromm moves on the NFL, if Beck as a true freshman comes in and does a little bit like what Fromm did in 2017, I mean, in the new age of the transfer portal that affects quarterbacks right now more than any other position, I think that may change the way a lot of these guys look at Georgia. It's not necessarily going to play out that way, but it certainly could. And so I think the thing for Georgia is it just wants to make sure it's showing plenty of love to these, you know, two cycle ahead quarterbacks and beyond, so that they feel like Georgia is a potential landing spot. And then when it gets closer to time to pull the trigger, all this stuff will kind of, you know, hopefully have managed itself. But I think that's kind of where we are on this for right now.
Well, did the Justin Fields transfer, did that sort of in an inadvertent way put an end to programs like Georgia stacking the quarterback room? Because that was sort of a glimpse into what's going to be the norm now, is that folks will enter the transfer portal and maybe they're going to be hesitant to sign with teams that have depth at a position because they know they're just going to wind up in the portal anyway.
Yeah, it's obviously way too early to tell, but right. For my own sake, I have a tendency to believe that Jake Fromm could very well be the last, like, three-year starter quarterback Georgia ever has. Now, these things have a way of one day not seeming quite as significant as they do in the moment we're in right now. But when you look at, you know, everybody will say, well, Georgia's got a lack of depth right now. And I would say, look around the country and try to find a team that really doesn't have a lack of depth beyond its kind of top-end frontline starter. You may say Oklahoma doesn't, because right now it's got Spencer Rattler backing up Jalen Hurts. But even that, to me, is one that could be quickly called into question, because, let's face it, Hurts is nowhere near as accomplished a passer as the previous Oklahoma quarterbacks have been. So even that situation may not end up looking quite as deep as it looks right now. But, you know, virtually no one. I mean, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. I would suggest even, you know, Clemson. There's certainly no, players similar in stature to Trevor Lawrence backing him up right now. These elite teams are kind of, you know, top heavy when it comes to quarterback depth, and one way or another in the future, I think that's kind of the way most teams are going to look.
Speaking with Brandon Adams, host of Dog Nation Daily, just a couple more minutes here. For the second straight week, I'm going to bring up kind of a silly side of fandom when it comes to college football. We saw the picture of Ben Cleveland last week on his Instagram and just how stacked he looked and how impressed we were. Similar question to you, Brandon. We all saw the backyard barbecue pictures when that tweet from Sam Pittman came out. And all those offensive linemen, God knows how much that barbecue cost. But what kind of thoughts went through your head just looking at what Georgia has become in terms of the offensive line?
So I joked about this with some people. I don't know if I said this on the air or not, but if you look at that picture, and everybody can find it from Sam Pittman's Twitter account, but if you look at that picture of their backyard barbecue or cookout hanging around the pool, if you look at that and you showed somebody that picture of the Georgia offensive lineman kind of around the Pittman's pool and then took the picture away and said, how many human beings were in this photo? I think the average person may say like 50 or 60.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how much mass is accumulated with just, you know, a small handful of offensive linemen. Because, I mean, I don't think anything demonstrates the humanity that Pittman's brought into that room more than seeing them all in kind of like, to use the old 80s wrestling phrase, street clothes. See them all stand there in street clothes around that pool is... I mean, it really does speak to just how larger than life these guys are right now. And of all the pictures that kind of got shared of these kind of last summer cookout things before these guys get serious with summer workouts. The Pittman photo around the pool was probably my favorite just because of how, you know, striking it is, how big all these guys are.
Well, the funny thing is Ben Cleveland wasn't even in the picture. Now, who knows where he was? Nothing bad. It's hard to get 17, 18 young men at one place at the same time. I don't know
and
what
Trey
his engagement
Blunt
was.
Had said something, the same thing about the wide receiver position, right. On his Twitter feed, that, you know, not every guy was in every picture, but that doesn't mean they weren't there. It's just like if we were having a gathering, you know, you'd have odd numbers of people showing up in some of these photos.
Good deal. Hey, Brandon, thanks for your time this morning. Quickly, before we let you go, you guys will go on air on Facebook at 10 o'clock, on air here at noon. What are you working on? What can the folks be excited about today?
You know, a national scouting site's given a pretty good compliment to Monty Rice, the Georgia linebacker. We'll talk about that. And we're going to do a little bit of a recruiting roundup as well, because there is a kind of a large collection of little news that's kind of piling up here. So I want to make sure that we do our due diligence and kind of keep up with all that.
Can't wait to hear all of that. Brandon Adams, host of Dog Nation Daily, thanks for your time this morning. We will all be listening later on this morning as you break it all down for us.
Y'all have a great day.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
Official Gator hater.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.